Comic Book Time Machine, episode 59. Four popular comic books over $10 retail value. Hello, time travelers. I'm Ben Avery, comic book writer, comic book reader, comic book collector, comic book fan. And I'm here to do another experimental episode for you and with you. I have in my hands a bag, and this is a bag that took me back in time, in my mind, in my memory, to what the way I used to buy comics off the rack at grocery stores. Especially, I remember buying them this way at my grandparents' grocery store. Also in bookstores sometimes, where they would have, you know, that sampler bag. They'd have three or four comics in a poly wrapped bag or whatever. And you'd be able to buy them for, you know, $3 or whatever. And there'd be three or four comics in there, but you could see one on the front, one on the back. And then what I would do is I would always kind of stick my finger, you know, my thumb kind of in the plastic there to try and peek and see in between to see what was that third comic book in there, or that third and fourth comic book in there. And I remember vividly buying one of those that had Star Wars. And this is when I was four or five, maybe six, Star Wars on one side, Star Wars on the other side. And I couldn't quite see what was in the middle. And when I opened it up, it was Star Wars. I believe it was number 49, Star Wars number 50, and then Star Trek, Marvel's Star Trek. And on the cover of this Marvel Star Trek comic, it had Captain Kirk and Spock, and they're holding a gnome in between them. And the gnome, I mean, we're talking gnome with the pointy red hat. We'll get to that episode eventually in Comic Book Time Machine, where I'm doing the Marvel licensed comics. Eventually, it's a long way off, I think. But, you know, and I that's the way I would look. I remember actually going to the grocery store and seeing at my grandparents' grocery store, someone had done that same thing, but they actually cut the side or split the side so that the comics were hanging out and you can actually see what was in there. But these bags, you know, I have in my hand one of these bags. This is something that I purchased 2 or 3 days ago. I was at Dollar General. Now, Dollar General is not a store I normally go to, but I was going there because it was recommended to me as a cheap place to get certain supplies. And I needed to get some supplies for a craft at the church where I work, and I was stopping there. They didn't have the supplies that I need, but I stopped because I was looking at the books that were on the shelf there that were $3. There was a book. It was the third volume of the Warriors series of anthology books that George Martin edited. And inside that, there's actually, in the first volume of that series anyway, was The Mystery Knight, which is the story that the third Hedge Knight graphic novel that I've written is based on. Now, that graphic novel, I adapted the script. I didn't write the story. I don't need to go there right now. So I was looking at these things, and then my mind, or my eye was glancing over, and I saw this thing. It's a bag, and all I could see was four popular comic books, over $10 retail value, free bonus trading card. And so I picked it up, and it's, the price was $2.99. Now, here's how this is going to work. I'm going to open this up here as I'm talking. I'm going to pull the things out and tell you what I have found inside the bag. And in doing so, then afterward, I'm going to play a sounder and I'm going to read the first book, come back, talk about it a little bit, read the second book, come back, talk about it a little bit. Look at the bonus trading card. And, you know, so all these things I'm going to do, I'm going to read all these four popular comic books in this episode. These are books that I, you know, they're in the bag. Now, here's the thing. There was one reason that sold me that I was like, I'm going to do this no matter what, because I am getting a value here. There, it says over $10 retail value. We'll talk about that once I actually do calculate the cover prices here. But, there's the front has this big circle that's about two thirds the length or the height of the comic book. So it covers up any logo on the front comic that you can actually see. It says Four Popular Comic Books or $10 Retail Value. I already said that. I can see the trading card here. It is a Batman trading card. It is Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton, Batman, bruised but not beaten is the caption on that card. And it is Michael Keaton. So I'm thinking, what? And then I turn it over and I can see the other comic. Now, I don't know what the other two comics in here are. Actually, I'll get to it why, but I don't know what the three other comics in here are. But the back of this book, or of this package, it's Spawn Batman, published by Image Comics, written by Frank Miller, and art by Todd McFarlane. Now, I'm sure I've read this way back when I was, you know, in college and starting to get back into comics. And I had friends, I'm sure, who had this. And this is, I think what they did was they did a Spawn Batman, and then they also did a Batman Spawn, and the one was published by Image and the other was published by DC. This is the Image one. But I'm thinking to myself, $3 and I get that. You know, I don't know what the other ones are, but this is worth it. Even if it's not a good read, it's $3. It's not a, quarter bin podcast level of deal. Although, you know what? I just changed the plans. Instead of playing a sounder, I'm going to play a, because last time I did an experimental episode, I ended up talking up a bunch of different podcasts that I liked. But this time, instead of playing a sounder, I'm going to go ahead and play some promos for podcasts that I like and that I listen to. And they might be promos that I've played before in other places, but I'm going to do that instead. Great idea. Anyway, the deal here, the value here, $4, $2.99, it's still not a quarter each. Okay. Although it is over $10 retail value, so I've saved at least $7 here with these books. Now, on the back, I can see the cover. I can see through the polyurethane or whatever this plastic stuff is made of. I can see the title. I can see the picture of Batman and Spawn leaping through the air with lightning behind them, obviously referencing Frank Miller's Dark Knight. And, you know, that I can see. The thing is, and this is what gets me excited about this bag, is that I can't see the logo of the comic that's on the front. In fact, I can't even see the character's face. What I see is a woman who's kind of wearing, it looks like fatigues with her pants, and she's wearing kind of a, I guess, she's got a bare arm. It's not a short sleeve shirt, so maybe it's like a tank top with a little bit of midriff showing. I don't know what this is, but I'm looking at it thinking, is this like Frey, which is kind of a futuristic Buffy the Vampire Slayer type of comic that Joss Whedon wrote for Dark Horse? There's weird looking people behind, but I can't see a logo. I have no idea what this comic is. I know nothing about this. So the Spawn Batman book is the last one that I'm going to read as I delve into this bag for this episode. And this is similar. I'm not sure when this episode is going to come out in relation to the comic book convention episode that we're doing. This is similar to that blind bag experiment that we're doing for that. And so if we haven't played that episode yet, consider this a teaser to something that has to do with a blind bag. And if we have done that episode, then consider this a reference back to that. So I'm going to open the bag right now, live. We're going to talk about what's actually in here. And then from there, we're going to go ahead and do some reading. So here I go. I'm going to open this bag. So it's very exciting. Radio, I know, but I'm going to take out the Spawn Batman book out first. That is $3.95 cover price. It has a spine. It's perfect bound. It's just what I expected. Now, here's where I don't know what to expect. Actually, let's get the card out first from the ones that I don't know what to expect. Bruised but not beaten. This is card number 122 from the Batman collection. Collect all 132 cards. They call him the Dark Avenger here. This is from 1989. So I'm going to put that right there on the side here. This is kind of fun. So let's take out this front one. Okay, that's weird. I mentioned I couldn't see a logo. That's because on the cover there is no logo. This is published by Boom. This is not at all what I'm expecting. You know, I expected that this is like the quality of the plastic, the fact that it has this Spawn book from 1994, a card from 1989. I was expecting some late 80s, early 90s type of junk. And I was expecting junk. You know, these bags, you know, they call them a sampler bag, but they're, you know, this is where they put stuff that hasn't sold. But this is Boom. Boom is like a 2000 thing. This was published in 2012. Interesting. Higher Earth, issue 2. I have absolutely no idea what this is. Created and written by Sam Humphries, art by Francesco Biagini. Higher Earth character designs by Sanford Green. Interesting. Okay. Huh. Okay, well, I'm going to read this. And the other thing I'm going to do is I'm not going to do a lot of research about these things. I'm going to look on the Mike's Amazing World to find out when these things actually came out. I'm not going to... I'm going to read them and take them as they come. And so in this case, it's an issue 2 of a series I've never, ever heard of that has a girl running away from some guy with a sword on the cover. And cover price, I don't see a cover price. It's a limited edition of some sort. There is no price on here at all. It just says limited edition, where you would have a price. There's a barcode. Well, 2012, I'll be generous. I'll say $2.99 for the cover price. There's probably $3.99, but we'll say $2.99. Next, we have Extermination, also a limited edition from Boom Studios. What in the world? Written by Simon Spurrier, art by V. Ken Marion. Okay. 2012. I was expecting, I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm expecting late 90s, but this is 2012. This is really bizarre. The Batman card and these comics from Boom. So I have Spawn Batman, Extermination, and Higher Earth. And no cover price. Well, again, let's be generous, I guess, and maybe this is a freebie or something that came. Extermination issue 5. Okay. Next up, we have... Wait a minute. There's 5 things in here, plus the card. How to Collect Comics. Cards 1, Special Interest Publication. How to Collect Comics. Inside this issue, how about the internet? What about graphic novels? Know your comic books. Grading standards inside. Hobby supplies. How to save big money. Okay, so this just got weird. This is on, like, newsprint. I don't see a year. Yeah, I don't see a copyright on in here at all. But that is weird. Cards 1, comic book classics. Comic books by the pound. Okay, well, I'm going to be reading this, and interesting. Well, yeah, I'll be reading this too, I guess. Learn how to collect comics. Though this has a cover price on it of $4. So I have $3.95 plus $4 is $7.95. And then I have these two comics with no cover price on them. Finally, we have, oh, now this is cool. J. Michael Straczynski's Midnight Nation issue number 1. This is sweet. I really love this series. Well, this will be fun. Oh, yeah, this will be a lot of fun. So this is $2.50. So just the books with cover price alone take me 50 cents over the $10 value that they're saying. But, you know, 5 comics for $3. Again, still, it's not a quarter each. But then you also have to figure in that playing card. Still, this is kind of fun because I'm here. I've got these books that I had no idea what they are. I'm being introduced to 2 new things, plus how to collect comics. They're going to teach me how to collect comics. The cover has a guy dressed up as a mutant ninja turtle. I mean, that just screams, you know, knowledge there. And then I have the Spawn Batman book that I know I've read, but I don't own, and I would never buy for any reason other than this kind of thing here. And then Midnight Nation that I get to revisit. So the order I'm going to take this in is I'm going to do the two comics I've never read before or never heard of before. Then I'm going to do How to Collect Comics, and then I'm going to read Midnight Nation number one, and then Spawn Batman. And yeah, I am a little bit excited. This is kind of fun, kind of wacky. Okay, it's not really wacky, but in my mind, I'm enjoying myself here, and we'll find out if I actually should enjoy myself. So I'm going to play a podcast promo for a podcast that I listen to and enjoy and recommend, and then I'll come back. And I'll be looking at Extermination. No, let's do the one that was on the front. Higher Earth, number 2.
You like cheap comic books, right? Well, I'm Professor Allen, and I talk about cheap comic books on the Quarterbin Podcast. In every episode, I'll dissect a single comic from my collection, as long as I paid no more than 25 cents for the issue. Forget about $4 new comics that you can read in 4 minutes. Or crossover events that can cost $100 to collect. Join me in the Quarter Bin, where even bad comics are a bargain. And good ones are a steal. The Quarter Bin Podcast is part of the Relatively Geeky Podcast Network. Visit us at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com or search Relatively Geeky or Quarter Bin Podcast in iTunes. I guarantee it'll be worth every penny.
And we're back. In the time it took for you to listen to that promo, I have read and researched this book, Higher Earth, issue number 2. Actually, I haven't researched it. What I did do is I did look up the details of when it came out, which is June 1st, 2012 is the cover date here, which there isn't really, well, there it is on the inside here, but this is a book. It's interesting. Francesco Francesco, I know you're not listening, but I am sorry anyway. The artwork is good. It's got a loose, clear style. It reminds me a little bit of Mobius for some reason. And also kind of reminds me of maybe what might be in a heavy metal comic, you know, if it was colorized, but heavy metal in the 90s, I think. That means nothing to me. 90s is the only time I ever read heavy metal, so I can't. What am I comparing it to? It was interesting. Now, I'll just give you a brief rundown of the story. There's a character who's a female and a character who's a male. And this involves a multiverse. So there's many Earths, and apparently this female and this male, she comes from one Earth. He somehow brought her, or she brought him. I actually got the impression they are not supposed to be where they are. They are on Sunshine Earth 9, which the opening page actually has presents it as an idyllic utopia, but it actually is overcrowded urban world. And he is comfortable, but he, as far as being there and knowing what to do, but he is not happy about being there because they are illegals. Meanwhile, she is scared. She doesn't seem to know what's going on. He is teaching her, what to do. He's trying to, coach her, not to do anything bad. But she goes ahead and does something bad. She runs away, and he chases her. He has a sword, by the way, and she seems to have some sort of superpowers. I mean, she's leaping and jumping. But she escapes him, and, you get the impression that he's supposed to be our main protagonist along with her. They share that. I'm not sure who the story is actually about, if it's him or if it's her. He's not a good guy. I mean, he seems to be just kind of mean. He seems to be, maybe it's not, mean is not quite the right word, but, he is definitely not, the kind of guy that you just want to hang out with have fun and, you know, just, you know, maybe play some mini golf or something with him. You get the impression that he would get pretty tired of mini golf pretty quick and hit you in the head with the golf club. But he, or his sword, I guess, because he does do that. He slices a man's head in half from the top down into the sternum. She runs away, takes refuge at a hobo camp on top of one of the buildings. She's not welcome there. They give her some food and send her on her way. He needs to find her, so he goes and finds this doctor. You know, there seems to be some backstory where he knows this doctor. Seems like this doctor was separated from his wife or something like that because of something that this man did and is not happy about it. But he recognizes that, you know, this man's illegal because he's asking for a stem cell slug calibrated to this earth, which seems to be how, I guess, they keep tabs on who belongs where. And so I'm getting the impression that there is something of a, you know, this is a overcrowded world where maybe undesirables are put, because I get the impression the doctor was put there against his will. The people on top of the one building, you know, they didn't want to be there, but they were there and they didn't have a choice. And then he sees a poster that says "Join Us," and it's got dinosaurs on it. It's a poster for the Conservation Corps, and he sees that in the doctor's office, which I guess that makes sense. You know, I've seen posters in doctor's offices, but not really advertisements. But, you know, maybe, you know, the doctor needs an extra few bucks. The medical field on this overcrowded world of poor and destitute people, maybe it's not paying very well. And he demands to know from the doctor where to go for that. She also sees this, and this is one of the nice things about this. As I was reading this, I'm really confused. I don't know exactly what's going on, but there are a couple moments. One moment being in the chase scene where he's chasing her that was almost completely wordless. The other being where she finds the same poster, and it just shows her, doesn't, no words, with her with the poster talking to different people, different, you know, residents of this world, you know, drug users, children, just all sorts of different people, showing them this as if to also be searching for where is this place. So apparently the male character knows that the female character is going to go there. I'm not sure exactly how, but, he does seem to know her, because that's the other thing is, as he was chasing her and loses her, he says, she lost me in 10 hours. It must be her. And I don't know if that is kind of a she's the one kind of thing or what. But the police then go to arrest her for being an illegal. He rescues her. That's where he cuts the guy's head in half from the top of the head through the neck into the sternum. They steal basically a flying moped. And they go to, you know, through a portal where they end up on this dinosaur world, and they crash land on the dinosaur world in front of a T-Rex, which it's a nice little splash page. And overall, you know, when I started reading it, I was really confused, and especially, you know, halfway through with the doctor stuff, I'm just like, I don't know exactly what's going on, but this main character is not a nice man. He is not treating people nicely. He is telling them to shut up and throwing them against a wall. And this, the female character, I don't know enough about to really even care about her then. But the world hopping, you know, that's one thing that did it for me, where it's like, oh, this seems a little interesting. The other is that wordless page where she tears the poster off the wall, is going around to all these different people. And then when she finally gets to the place, it's another almost splash page of this dinosaur walking down the street. And she just says, beautiful, as she watches it. And so that part was a nice little moment in this otherwise confusing book. Now, it's confusing to me because I have not read issue one, and I do not know anything else about this book other than what I'm seeing in this actual, you know, from cover to cover. And, looking here almost at the last page, as they're flying, they fly through the portal. They end up in a protected paddock, where you get the impression they're not trying to keep dinosaurs in. They're trying to keep dinosaurs out. And this is where, you know, their base of operations. So they fly through, and this guy just kills people. You know, he's a killer. And as they're flying by, one of the guys in a tower gives the order to fire, and they just fly by. And then the one panel shows the guy holding a sword on the moped. The next panel shows a puff of smoke that has been left behind by the moped, but the moped is out of the panel. And it just shows the body of the guy who yells freeze, and his head, which is, you know, 12 inches up above his body, has been sliced off. And this guy's violent, kills, and then they land in front of a T-Rex, which is really the best page of the book, is that final page where it's a splash page of the guy grabbing his sword while T-Rex stands over them growling. So that's Higher Earth. I wouldn't go out and buy it. I'm not excited to try and run. And, you know, as a sampler, which this isn't a sampler, this is just them taking books that were, you know, bought really, really cheap and sticking them into a bag. But, the idea of a sampler where it says, hey, check this out, try this out. This, I would read it if it was in front of me, because a friend of mine had it on his shelf while I was visiting or something like that, and said, yeah, you can take that home and read it. I'm not going to seek it out. But, yeah, not terrible. I had no idea what to expect. Was it worth how much I spent on it? You know, the cover price is $3.99. I wouldn't have spent that on this, but what I did spend, I'm happy. So I'm ready to move on to the next one, which is Extermination. But before I do that, here comes another commercial, basically.
Tangent. An abrupt change of course.
Tangent. To go off suddenly in another direction or on a different line of thought.
Tangent. A comic event featuring brand new characters with very familiar names.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing the chemicals. I'm breaking in, shaping up, then checking out on the prison bus. This is it, the apocalypse. Whoa, I'm waking up. I can't hear my phone. Don't make my system blow. Welcome to the new age. To the new age. Welcome to the new age. To the new age.
Parallel Lines, the DC Comics Tangent Universe podcast.
Find it bi-weekly on iTunes and at greatkrypton.com.
In the Tangent Universe, you only know the names.
And we're back. And so in the time it took you to listen to that promo, I have read Extermination number 5. And in this one, I am a little less confused about who the characters are, because they are introduced to me. Nox, who's a shadow-shrouded heroic hardman. Recent convert to strategy of killing things which are trying to kill you. Conflicted. So you get the idea. He is a superhero who does not like to kill people. Meanwhile, the other main character, is the Red Reaper. Science-making, aristocratic, Anglo-leap, in a gas mask, faintly embarrassed by the whole thing. He is a bad guy, and the way that they have some interplay in the flashback sequences, which are 6 months ago, they seem to be archenemies, nemesis, whatever. Man. So apparently we are in I guess this is post-apocalyptic. The world has fallen to these aliens, and there is this weird looking psychic spaceship that is traveling around destroying the world. They want to stop it, and they choose instead of trying to stop it to get on it. If they can board it, they don't have to stop it, because this is what's going to allow them to I don't know why they want to stop it or not stop it. But I'm less confused about who the characters are. I'm more confused about what's going on. And when I finally do get my answers, I'm not as satisfied in this one. This one just seems to be all about, you know, making a deal with the devil. And what does that mean? Where you have the villain and the hero working together for the good of mankind, because mankind is about to die completely. And let's face it, when it comes down to ultimate evil plans of total world domination or total complete destruction, it's not a very good plan. It really isn't. You know, when you think through, oh, if I destroy the world, well, that's where I live too. Unless you're completely insane. So, yeah, this one, you know, the art's not terrible, but at the same time, I'm not drawn in by the story. I'm not drawn in by the characters. And, you know, it's so confusing with, you know, what's going on. The flashback sequences don't go together. There's a flashback sequence that occurs that ends kind of on a little bit of a cliffhanger kind of thing, where the villain is about to kill the hero. Now, obviously he doesn't, because, you know, 6 months later, they're talking and everything. But when you go back to the flashback, they're fighting aliens now all of a sudden, and there's no, it's confusing, and I'm just not interested enough. I'm not drawn in enough by the art or the story to really care about Extermination. I don't know who Simon Spurrier is. As a whole, maybe it is a lot better. But as far as what he's written here, just doesn't pull me in. V. Ken Marion does a great job with what he's given. It's energetic and there's expressive. But all things considered, this book is not one that I really am interested in at all. So right now, split score. Half and half. I like the one, I don't like the other. And now I'm going to take some time here. I'm going to play another promo, and I'm going to read How to Collect Comics and see if I'm doing anything right or what I'm doing wrong.
Daddy, what did you do when Atlantis attacked?
I donned my iron armor to fight with Namor the Submariner.
That was Iron Man. What did you do when Atlantis attacked?
I gathered a group of heroes to fight against the Serpent Crime with my mighty shield held high.
That's Captain America. Try again.
I spun a web any size.
Spider-Man.
I punished the drug dealers.
I have no idea. But are you just doing another podcast?
Another podcast? Yes. Mark's Mess versus Atlantis Attacks, a 15-part limited podcast series examining the Marvel annuals that have the banner heading of Atlantis Attacks. A story joining the Marvel heroes against the Serpent Crown. Find it at marksmesspodcast.blogspot.co.uk. On Twitter at Mark's Mess Podcast, and on iTunes by searching Mark's Mess.
Where's my fiver?
And we're back. And again, these are podcasts that I listen to, that I enjoy, and that I recommend. That was Mark's Mess, which they're going through the Atlantis Attacks annuals right now. And I say they because it's him and his daughters. And that's been a lot of fun to listen to. So, How to Collect Comics. Single issue price, $4. Cards, one special interest publication. I realized what this was, finally. I took a closer look at the bag. And Cards One is who put this bag together. Now, I don't know when. Well, I have an idea of when, because I was able to use context clues. This book, at the very latest, well, no, earliest, this was printed in 2010. Possibly 2012, considering the dates on the other ones. This was put in there as an insert for this company. this is, it says how to collect comics, and there is stuff in here about that. But most of it, you know, 75% of this book are advertisements for how to buy comics from them, how to buy cards from them, all of these different things where they are trying to sell. There is a half-page Know Your Comic Book Titles word search that has comic book titles as diverse as Vampy, Elementals, Grendel, Robotech, Union, Hardcase, and Mantra, Robin, Hawkman, Edge, and Forge. I mean, this goes all over the place when it comes to, you know, the titles that they're putting in there. And honestly, you know, those two Boom books I read, I was expecting stuff from the 90s. I was hoping for, you know, like an Ultraverse comic, although Ultraverse is, honestly, I mean, I have all of them. But so then, you know, you have that, and then there's two pages of ads getting baseball cards and sports cards. And then there's an article, How About That Internet?, which tells you, it says, when it comes to using the internet to gather more information about your hobby, I say go for it. Buying something on the internet, that's a different story altogether. And there's 9 tips for buying comics off the internet. I'm going to go ahead and read them for you so you can see if this book is worth the $4 cover price. Number 1, before proceeding with any buy-in transaction, make sure the dealer you find has a liberal return policy that is acceptable to you. An unconditional 30-day money-back... Oh, my goodness. Not an unconditional 30-day money-back guarantee. It says here, an unconditional 30-day Monday-back guarantee is the most acceptable and fairest business transaction. Oh, these poor people. You need an editor. You need an editor. Anyway, number 2, make sure the retailer has customer service, and then in quotes, phone hours. I don't know why phone is in quotes, but it is. Basically, it's saying, you know, when you make a transaction, you want to be able to contact them on the phone because things can get complicated. Number 3, a picture speaks 1,000 words. Unless someone is selling something on the internet. And they're saying that the picture you'll see is not necessarily the actual product you'll receive, which is actually, I mean, that's a good point, especially on like eBay. They have automatic pictures of the cover of books and stuff like that. Number 4, on a collectible item that is not physically in front of you, the most important question you can ask a salesperson is, quote, what are the negatives of the product I am interested in purchasing? If they say nothing is wrong, keep insisting. Every collectible has negatives. If still nothing is said, beware. I don't understand that one exactly, but maybe they're meaning push for the, you know, like the little chip off the bottom of the box or something. I don't know. Number 5, credit cards are your friend when buying something on the internet. Basically, if you have a conflict and it's a credit card, the company will take the hit. But if it's a debit card, your bank won't give you back the money until the conflict is resolved and the money is returned. Number 6, who pays return shipping on your returnable items? If it's you, the buyer, beware. That's all that should be said on this topic. Number 7, does this internet company have any other sales avenues other than their website? Websites are cheap to build. Selling on auction sites almost costs nothing up front. Selling on social networks is free. What costs money are retail stores and catalogs. Where am I going with this? It's not a perfect science, but if a company has millions of dollars invested in their retail business, I doubt they will risk it over your $5 returned item. And I'm getting the impression here that they are really, really pushing toward basically all of these items. They do these 9 things with their business. Number 8, the bigger the assortment, the easier the transactions. And lastly, number 9, as it pertains to buying something on the internet, if it's too good to be true, it is. And then there's 2 more pages. No, wait. This is the comic book grading standards. And this page I actually found kind of helpful. Like, I could see wanting this page, actually, if I wanted to sell something on eBay. Just so I could say, okay, I know this is fine or very fine or whatever. It has all those, you know, things to look at on the spine, on the cover, inside pages, overall condition. A fair rating. The comic book is still readable. A comic book that has been abused. Very Good is a comic book that looks well used but not abused. This is actually interesting information to me. And there's an ad, and there's another ad. Then there's Know Your Comic, which gives you all the information of what the cover of a comic tells you. There's the trademark symbol. There's the comic book code, which is a third-party company that censorship rates the content. Wait a minute. When did they stop using that? 2010? Was it still around? Maybe it was. The publisher, the issue number and date, and it's just got all that information on there. And then, as I move forward, add. Order form, add. And so, all told, this is a 16-page pamphlet for $4 that is to get you to order stuff from them. So, there that is. And I'll play another promo for another podcast I like. And then, while I'm playing that promo, I'm going to read J. Michael Straczynski's Midnight Nation, Issue 1.
Aquaman and Firestorm fighting crime together. Soak them down or burn them up. No one does it better. Whenever you find trouble, they'll always be there to catch them in a bubble or even torch their hair. Stand for truth and justice in sea, on land, and air. Firestorm and Aquaman, they make a super pair.
The Fire and Water Podcast. Celebrating Aquaman, King of the Seven Seas, and Firestorm, the Nuclear Man.
Available weekly on Aquaman Shrine, Firestorm Fan, and on iTunes and Stitcher.
I'm one of your hosts, the Irredeemable Shag, here to talk about Firestorm. Along with me is my co-host, Rob Kelly, here to talk about some guy that talks to fish.
Really? You're going to pull this crap during the promo? Bad enough, I have to put up with your shenanigans every week, but...
And I'll be honest, that podcast is actually the first comic book podcast that I actually listened to. I listened to some web comic podcasts back when I was trying to get a web comic going. But this was the first actual comic book podcast that I listened to. That's the Firewater podcast because of the Aquaman element. Now I know Rob and Shag aren't going to be listening to this. This is the comic book time machine. I mean, we're small time, you know? Fire and Water. That's the big time as far as comic book podcasts go. I don't know if that's saying too much, but anyway, J. Michael Straczynski's. Want to talk about big time? J. Michael Straczynski's Midnight Nation, written by one of the big time people in entertainment. He, or at least geek entertainment. He has written Superman and Wonder Woman, for DC, but he also obviously did Babylon 5, and then he also he did a series that was very popular and very successful before it ran into publishing issues, and that was Rising Stars. It's because of Rising Stars that I started reading Midnight Nation and fell in love with Midnight Nation, partially because it is a single graphic novel and it has a beginning, middle, and end. It's a great read. Now he's also doing a series called Dream Police that I really want to address on Comic Book Time Machine sometime when I have time. I don't know if I will. But honestly, I'm super excited that I get to talk about Midnight Nation, because this is something I've been considering doing for Comic Book Time Machine, but I've completely forgotten about. Every time I think about it, I just forget about it. And so here it is, just thrown right at me, in a bag labeled four popular comic books. Although, to say all four of these five books that were in here, four of them actually being comic books, as for them being popular, at least one of them is. The one with Batman and Spawn in it. But let's talk about Midnight Nation. Midnight Nation is from 2000, the year 2000, October. And so of all of these, I mean, definitely you want to set your time machine there. Fortunately, this has been collected in a graphic novel, and I believe it's on Comixology and some of those other things. along with like Rising Stars and that. It was published by Image, Top Cow, under the imprint of Joe's Comics, which is going to be an imprint of comics that were titles that he had created. And so this one, it lasted 12 issues. And as I said before, I love it. But as a graphic novel, it truly is a novel. And it has, I know, I keep harping on this, the beginning, middle, and end. But let's talk about the beginning. Issue one, it's about a cop. And he's actually a homicide detective. And he is called in to investigate a homicide. And he can't find any information. There are no clues. There are no, there's nothing pointing toward any kind of killer. Just the fact that there's a dead body there. There's one guy who he has to speak up. There's a witness who comes to him and says, I need to tell you something. But he gets spooked by a van that comes, and he's talking about how the men will get him. The men will get him. And this van comes by, and then the guy's gone, the informant. And so he goes back to the station, and he's dealing with, his boss, who's a fairly typical, I expect to see his boss, be one of the detectives, one of those, rotten detectives on Hill Street Blues or something like that. But he goes back, he's going to go back and investigate the murder again. But then, it turns out there's actually another murder that has occurred, and there's a man's head in a refrigerator with a message written in blood. Talks too much. The man, the apartment that the man is found in is covered in blood and body parts. And so he's investigating. He did get a name from the man, and so he's going to investigate and find that man. And they're going in to go and arrest him. And they feel like they've got the drop on him. Problem is, they may have the drop on him, but when they go in, he is waiting, and he is not waiting alone. He is awaiting them with these people who, the best way I can describe them. They're transparent, which is something that is used to great effect here. They are transparent. They have torn apart his fellow police officers who are going there to make the arrest with him. They are green. They wear robes, and they have tattoos all over their bodies. It's what if you took Darth Maul and mixed him with Joker? That's what these guys look like. And so he goes into the room to arrest the guy. The murderer, and he sees these guys, and they are, tearing apart the police officers. He fires, the criminal is killed. He falls off the balcony, finds himself in a hospital. And there's some really vague dialogue that happens as he's falling into unconsciousness, where, someone's giving the orders to these, Darth Jokers, and he says, no, this one, don't kill him. He's interesting. He's very interesting. And we don't know why. We don't know what is, what's going on here, who these people are, other than they're ghostly and may actually be ghosts. And I'm not going to spoil who they are or what they are. I don't feel bad spoiling a lot of this issue because, honestly, I'm saying get the graphic novel. I'm just spoiling the first chapter for you so that you should get this. It's a supernatural adventure. And so he's taken to a hospital, and when he wakes up, there's no one around and no one can hear him. And then he goes in the hall, and now everyone is transparent. You can see through every single person in the hospital except for him and one other person. Well, who's that other person? Well, but the last half of the book, there is a woman, and her name is Laurel, and she is waking up. And it's kind of nice the way they do this. It's kind of cool. JMS, I do feel like he does things that he follows the kind of thing that I would say to any writer or anyone in creative arts. And that is, whenever you do a new project, try and find something new to do with it. Try to find some sort of new storytelling element you can bring in. Or, don't just do what you've always done. Grow. Experiment. And that's what I feel like we get here. We have on every page now, like I said, about halfway through is where it starts in, about an inch and a half panel that goes the entire length from top to bottom of the page. Is this woman waking up, and you see her mouth, you see her eyes, and slowly you start to see more and more of her. She's in dark. There's this mysterious voice talking to her, telling her to wake up, telling her that she has to go do something. She doesn't want to do it. And then the rest of the page, which is still almost the full page, you know, so you're still getting a kind of a regular page layout. It's following this detective and following what he's doing as she is waking up and not wanting to go and find this person who is alone, who doesn't know what he's facing. Obviously, the disembodied voice is talking about our protagonist. And so finally, then, at the very end, she's deciding, you know, she'll do it. She has to do it. And so the second to last page, or the penultimate page here, is him walking through the hospital, and everyone's transparent. And then he hears a voice, because he says, "I'm unconscious, I have to be." And he hears a voice saying, "It's not a dream. Why does everyone always assume it's a dream? It's such a cliche. Who are you?" And then you turn the page, and it's her, and she is solid. And this is the message she gives him. She says, "I'm Laurel. You're in the place in between, and it looks like I'm your guide. Until they find you, until they kill you, or until you turn, which is when I'll kill you. Any questions?" Great, great, great cliffhanger for a first issue. You spend time with your protagonist. You get to know him. You know, he's divorced. He pays alimony, and you get all these, you know, things. I mean, it feels a little bit like maybe a cliche of the down on his luck cop or whatever. Detective, and, you know, who works the homicide night shift or whatever it is. But at the same time, then you throw in these supernatural elements, and it's great. I remember I had all 12 issues of this, and I read it a few times, and then I had a friend visit me, and I let him borrow it and said, "You got to read this." And then he spilled pop all over all 12 issues, and said, "Sorry, man." And I said, "Oh, don't worry about it. I want to buy the graphic novel anyway. You just keep them so you can finish reading them." And he did. I think he liked them. I can't remember. He went back to Canada, and I never actually talked to him about Midnight Nation again, but he took these with him, so at least there's that. Anyway, great first issue. It's $250 cover price here. So really, I mean, I paid $2.99 for the bag. This is an extra 49 cents for this one issue cover price. Now, yeah, I've double dipped, because now I've bought this particular issue three times, once as a single issue, once as a graphic novel that's sitting on my shelf right here within, you know, I can touch it with my fingertip. That's how close it is to me. It's been on my shelf as a to-read book for, unfortunately, I don't know how long. But and then I've now purchased this bag here, and I have to say, you know, listeners, this is something I recommend, and it's something that I'm so gung ho on. I'd be willing to part with this issue. I'd be willing to give it to someone as a tryout thing. So, you know, maybe I'll talk to some friends or something, and just say, "Hey, I got this comic. I'll give it to you." I don't know how to give it away exactly, because it's not like it's going to come up and, you know, conversation about this obscure comic book from 15 years ago. But the bottom line is, I was really happy to open the bag, find this. Now I've reread this, and yeah, now I've podcasted about it. So I'm going to play one more podcast promo. And then while I play that podcast promo, I'll be reading Spawn Batman, and then we'll talk about that. I know I've read this before too. I wonder if I'm going to have, as you know, such glowing review for it as I do for this one. I mean, JMS, we already talked about him. Actually, we didn't talk about Gary Frank. He's the artist on this book. He brings a really solid style where it's quite realistic. It's expressive, but at the same time, it's nothing totally dynamic or crazy or anything like that. It's very much, a photorealistic almost, well, I shouldn't say photorealistic, but it definitely has a realism to it rather than, cartoony or stylized style. But all that to say, Midnight Nation, I highly recommend it. And I really, really enjoy that I got to revisit it. And now I'm going to revisit something that I do not know if I'll enjoy as much. But so far, out of this unit here, I've had one that I would say, I don't recommend. One that I'm curious about. So a negative, a positive, and then Midnight Nation, a positive. Then that collector's thing, which is 16 pages on newsprint for $4. I would never pay $4 for that. But I'm not out much, with that. It's not even mentioned on the cover there of the plastic bag. I mean, it tells me four comics. So as an extra, I'm just going to say that comes out even. It's not positive. It's not negative. It's right in the middle. Spawn Batman. That's the one. If it's a tie, two negative and two positive experiences from this bag, I'm going to have to lean towards positive that my $3 was well spent, because I do have this card with Michael Keaton on it, this trading card, and that's enough of a positive to push me over to the other side. But we'll see. Maybe I'll end up with three positives. I don't know. Spawn and Batman. Well, let's play the promo, and then we'll get to it.
Why do you think superheroes are so important?
People need heroes because they need somebody to inspire them, something to aim for, somebody to try to be like.
One is the Man of Tomorrow, with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. The other, the Caped Crusader, carrying out a solemn vow to spend his life warring on all criminals. For 7 decades, they've been the world's finest heroes. They've teamed on radio, comics, newspapers, animation, and more. And now, they're teaming up for a podcast.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Up, up, and away!
Atomic batteries to turbines to speed.
Superman and Batman celebrates more than 70 years of the world's finest team with randomly chosen stories featuring the Man of Steel and the Dark Knight. Superman and Batman, featuring your two favorite heroes in one podcast together. Find it today at greatkrypton.com.
And we're back. We're back. With Spawn and Batman. Now, this is what caused me to say, yes, I'm definitely picking up this package of comics, and I don't know what's inside for the other three, but there's this one. I could see it clearly. And then I saw Frank Miller, Todd McFarlane. I mean, this is Todd McFarlane being, Todd McFarlane, which reminds me of a joke, by the way. It's not a very good one, but it goes like this. What do you get when you cross Spider-Man, Ghost Rider, and Batman? You get a baseball. I'll let you, chew on that for a little bit. But anyway, the book itself, yeah, I remember I had friends in college who were into Spawn. They really, really liked Spawn. And so 1994, I probably read this, borrowed it from one of my buddies who was working maintenance with me at my college. Because I know I didn't buy this. I didn't buy any Spawn comics except for the Cerberus Spawn comic that Dave Sim wrote when there was I think there's four in a row. Oh, and I also had the Neil Gaiman one too. There's four in a row where Todd McFarlane invited pretty big name writers to come and do a Spawn story. And so I had those, and I was well aware of who Spawn was. I did go and see the Spawn movie in theaters, And I did watch the HBO, I think it was HBO, but the Spawn cartoon show. I rented it. I didn't have cable, but I rented it and watched that series. Like I said, I was aware of who the character was. But Spawn, honestly, he is slightly above Deadpool for me in how much I like him, but he's one of those characters I just don't care about that much. Todd McFarlane, he is hit or miss for me as far as his style goes. Sometimes his style just really draws me in and really captures me, and I'm really intrigued by his art. And then other times it just comes across as too hyper stylized, too unrealistic. Now, when I was getting into comics and buying comics with my own money, not the first comics I ever read, but the first comics I was buying with my own money, it was Todd McFarlane on Spider-Man. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was weird and different and energetic. But by the time he was doing Spawn and I was in college and I was really just more, wanting to see things by writers that I liked. And that's where I got into like Nightman with Ultraverse. And instead of getting into, Wildcats and Spawn and those kind of things with Image, I would tend to pick up Image comics that were written by people that I respected. Like I bought Steve Gerber comics that were Image titles that I had no idea what they were. And he wrote two issues in there, and it wasn't like it was special story Steve Gerber doing a special Steve Gerber story. It was just, Steve Gerber doing the next story, the next two issues in this series. And I think the only Image comic that I really, really, really appreciated and enjoyed was the Max. And I don't know why. Of all of them, I'm sure there were other things like that, but the Max kind of intrigued me because of its big high concept and the imaginary world type of thing that was going on there. The cartoon actually is what caused me to start buying the comics probably. Anyway, with Spawn, I picked this up and I'm reading this and I'm thinking, okay, we're definitely referencing Dark Knight on the cover. And is referencing Dark Knight on the cover mean we're going to get kind of a dark vigilante superhero team up with Spawn, who is a supernatural character who has died, gone to hell, been sent back? He sends people to hell, from what I can tell. This is a pretty dark character. Batman is obviously a dark character. Is this what I'm going to get? Is this going to be gritty and dark? And the answer is, the referencing of Dark Knight on the cover is more in line with the, comedy of things here. This is Frank Miller doing basically kind of a satirical parody, of the idea of Batman and Spawn. And there's even one place in here, and I'm trying to find it right now. There's one place that kind of references the absurdity of the situation, where there's a homeless. Well, let me give you the situation first. In Gotham City, Batman is taking care of some thugs, and they are involved in weapons dealing, and he finds some powerful gloves that, the robotic gloves, and then there's a robot that pops up and starts attacking, and he fights the robot, and inside there is he sees a face, and then he continues fighting, trying to get the guy out of the robot, because as the guy is becoming aware, he's saying, "What am I? Where am I? What? How did I get here? I can't feel my legs." Well, it's just the dude's head that's in there, and so he's wanting to know, what's going on? And as soon as we say, we realize that there's, homeless people who are being put in these robots. And then we see that there is this woman who is on TV, and she is founder of Heal the World, and she has done humanitarian work. And so we know it's our villain. She is our villain. She's the one who's doing this. We don't have to know anything else because of timing and because she is the new character introduced into this situation. Well, Batman does some more investigation, finds out the guy's from Brooklyn, goes to New York, where he promptly finds Spawn. They fight, and Batman runs away because he's outclassed by Spawn's magic and supernatural power. But Batman does return, and he uses some of his own little tricks to kind of weaken Spawn a little bit. But there's this give and take and back and forth, and I don't really feel like it's earned. It's instead of the traditional thing where, you know, they fight, and then they realize, oh, we're on the same side, let's become friends. They fight, and they realize, oh, we're on the same side, so let's fight the bad guy. But while they're fighting the bad guy, they're fighting with each other the entire time. They're just kind of going back and forth and back and forth, and it's meant to be funny, and some of it actually is. But, you know, there's parts of it that just – it falls flat because it's just – to me, it's not good comedy, and it's not the tone doesn't fit of what it – and I don't know if it's because of my expectation that the tone doesn't fit, but – of course, then they go after the arms dealer, and of course, you know, they're going to win. And there's one part in here, though, where Spawn is telling his homeless friends, and that's why Spawn is getting involved, by the way, is because it's homeless people who are having their heads cut off and put into these robots to be like the human controller of it, but they lose their actual free will. They don't have free will, but they're controlling how the robot does the fighting and stuff like that. At least that's my take on it after one reading. But there's one line here where Spawn is talking about he saw Batman, and none of the homeless friends that he has are believe that he saw Batman. And then he says, it's not a story, it was Batman. And and if he's working for Nadia Vladova, or Margaret Love as she's calling herself, then he's not the hero everybody says he is. And someone in the background says, kind of like Elseworlds, huh? Which really that, I mean, we're halfway through the book. And when that line gets thrown in there by Frank Miller, who wrote this, and I'm like, oh, okay. I know where we are right now. This is, you know, an Elseworlds, but it's also, it's really self-referential. And that's okay. That's okay. I don't feel like I just wasted, you know, 15, 20 minutes or however long it took me to read it. There is some fantastic art. There's a couple splash pages. There's one double page splash within the story of Batman and Spawn side by side. There's another double page splash toward the end of the book that I remember seeing like as a cover of Wizard Magazine or something like that. There's some decent art going into this book. And there's enough of the goofy one-liner that's kind of, it's amusing. It's amusing. That's the word I'm going to go with. Spawn Batman, published by Image Comics, is amusing. It is diverting. It is not, it's not changing the comic industry the way The Dark Knight Returns did, or the way Spawn did, honestly. But bringing Frank Miller, Todd McFarlane together, this is a little bit of comic book history to me. You know, and it's kind of fun. I mean, you team up Frank Miller and Todd McFarlane, and then you team up Batman and Spawn. It's a little bit meta there. I don't know what their working relationship was like, but there are references back to Dark Knight in here. With the way he's, you know, bandaging himself up and using the mechanical gloves to fight Spawn the way he would, you know, suit up to fight Superman. They use television screens to give exposition every once in a while, and it's a chance for these two guys, I think, to just have some fun. If that's what this is, if this is Frank Miller and Tom McFarlane having fun, I'm with it. I'm with it. I'm not having as much fun as they are, but I can really appreciate what I'm actually holding in my hands in that regard. Now, the ending, I'm not too fond of, it feels like it's trying too hard to be funny. But you know, for this, it's not, I'm not going to rave about it the way I did about, Midnight Nation. But, you know, 3 out of 4, this is not bad. I paid $1 each for those books if you throw out the one that I didn't like and throw out the little pamphlet thing, the catalog thing. I paid $1 each for those books, and it was fun. Midnight Nation brought back some good feelings. Spawn Batman took me back to the 90s. I mean, this is 1994. It took me back to 1994. Made me think about hanging out with my friends, talking about comic books. We weren't really comic book geeks, though. I mean, we were just people who liked comics. We weren't really into them super, you know, heavily. We just, every once in a while, my friends and I, you know, I was into them more with one friend. But the friends who were buying Spawn and that kind of thing, they were just doing it because it was, you know, they're just casual fans. And we would talk about Spawn and Mask and the Mask, not Mask, the cartoon show and the toy line, but the Mask, you know, the Jim Carrey movie that caused us to see and purchase Mask comic books. Anyway, this little bag brought a little bit of comic book joy into my life and got me to talk about it for an hour and 15 minutes. And I have to say, this little experiment is, as far as my actual enjoyment goes, a rousing success. And I enjoyed every bit of it. You know, this is probably the... I don't like Spawn, but at the same time, in reading this, I'm not going to go out and like, oh, I got to buy the back issues of Spawn and really get into the... I'm not going to do that, but this was just enough of a Spawn story for me to, you know, say, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. It's amusing, it's diverting, and it's okay. But Midnight Nation, totally something different. I highly, highly, highly recommend it. Well, that's all here. And you can find us at comicbooktimemachine.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/comicbooktimemachine. We are Comic Time on Twitter. You can also find me at benavery.com on Facebook. I'm facebook.com/Ben Avery Storyteller. And you can also hear me talk about Marvel Cinematic Universe and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Daredevil is what we're going through right now for the summer of 2015. And you can find that at Welcome to Level 7. So I just want to thank you so much for listening, and I hope to hear from you. I would love to hear from you if you have any memories about like Spawn, Batman, or if you've read those Boom books and would say that, oh, you know what, just that sampling isn't enough. Maybe you should read more, Ben. I'd love to hear from you. You can contact us here at the Comic Book Time Machine. We are feedback@comicbooktimemachine.com. We'd love to hear from you. And again, those podcast promos that I played, those are all podcasts that I highly recommend and I enjoy listening to myself. They are people that I spend time listening to. I don't spend time talking with them. You know, these aren't friends of mine, really. These are people that, some of them I've had limited, conversations with because of, you know, being in the podcasting sphere. And so they're podcasting, peers of mine, I guess, for some of them. But they are all podcasts that I do recommend. And so the Quartermain podcast, which is a relatively geeky network, Fire and Water podcast, Superman Batman podcast, Parallel Lines, the Tangent Universe podcast, and Mark's Mess, which is going through Atlantis Attacks. And he also has a history one about one of his relatives who was writing letters from the front during World War I. These are all great podcasts, great comic book podcasts. And if you're listening to Comic Book Time Machine, then these are podcasts that I think you would enjoy. Obviously, personality types and those kind of things, you know, cause other, you know, it's not just topic that's going to make you enjoy it. But these are ones that I recommend. Seek them out, check them out, give them a try. And so all that said, thank you for listening and Godspeed.